Welcome to Cornerstone. We're glad you've joined us. Today, we'll be hearing from a special guest speaker. Listen in and be encouraged as we spend some time in God's Word together.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be together. And it's always an honor for me to get to stand before you as we open up God's Word together. From the very beginning, God has been in the business of putting people together. It all started in the garden when God put Adam and Eve together and really instituted the family. Later on, he adopted a nomadic tribe and he called his people, and he established the nation of Israel. Finally, God brought together all of those who confessed by faith the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and he established the church. You see, it's by God's design that we are together. But you know, sometimes that can be a real challenge in our life because of our fast-paced world. We live very separate lives. I don't know if it's just the individual mindset that we have or the busy schedules that we keep, but sometimes it can be very difficult to truly get to know and love the people, you know, that are around us. We've really seen a huge shift in culture over the last 25 years in the area of technology as we began to use, you know, the internet and smartphones and social media. Technology has really permeated just about every area of our life. I mean, from home to work, even in our relationships. Now, over the years, I've had an opportunity to travel a little bit, and I've been to Africa a number of times, and specifically Uganda, and I've developed a number of friendships there, and there's one man that I'm particularly close to. We met probably 20 years ago, and we've stayed connected ever since. In fact, I think we have a picture of him this morning. His name is Moses. And this is a picture when we were much younger men. But I remember the first time that we really began developing this friendship. We spent a lot of time together. I asked him a lot of questions about culture, Ugandan culture, and he really helped me with language. But as we would talk, he would always ask questions about America. He was very curious. And I remember one specific conversation, and we were talking, and he said, "Eric, I understand that in America," and he kind of got a grin on his face, and he said, "I understand in America you believe that the world is round," and then he kind of chuckled. "Everyone knows that the world is flat." And suddenly, I began to realize, wow, we really see the world from very, very different perspectives. Now, Moses is very smart, even though he had a very limited education. He speaks multiple languages, hard worker. He's a real estate broker. He's a pastor of a church. He's got his own radio talk show. And in fact, I think it was on this trip that a couple times now I've been a guest on his radio program. And of course, after the first time I got back, I made sure and updated my resume, put that on there, you know, international radio personality, because, you know, I don't need to tell you about the Ugandan AM gospel hour and what a big deal that does for, you know, someone's career. But I love being with Moses because I learn and gain such perspective. But over the years, as Moses kind of continued to develop, he kind of got a broader view of the world, because before, his only view of the world was really his village and the local township in which he worked. In fact, this picture that I'm showing you here was really the first time he had ever looked at a laptop. And just days before this, the group that I was with, we had gone away for a couple of days, and we'd gone to a game park and kind of gone on safari, got to see lions and elephants and all the wild animals, you know, that kind of come right up a little too close for me, right up to the car. And I was showing him some video of that, of some lions that had come real close to the Jeep that we were in. And he said, "I've never seen a lion before. Never seen an elephant. Lives in Africa all his life. Never seen those things, even though they were just few hundred miles down the road. So again, his perspective was very, very small of the world. But over the years, as he's been exposed to more and more, he began to gained a new understanding of the world that we live in and how the world works. And I went back to visit him a number of different times. In fact, a few years ago, I went back to see him and got to spend a couple days with him. But I remember, it was so funny, we were walking down the road together, and suddenly a phone began to ring. And I knew it wasn't my phone, who's calling me while I'm in Uganda. And he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out an iPhone. I thought, wow, pretty impressive. But it wasn't that phone that was ringing. He reaches his other pocket and he pulls out another iPhone and then begins to do a real estate deal on the phone while we're talking. Later, we went to his house, which was just a small, about a 20 by 20 room, all encompassing, you know, bedroom, kitchen, everything, just all in that one room. But he was so proud to show me when we walked in. He showed me his television and his stereo, and then he pulls out an iPad. And I thought to myself, how ironic is that? This man who just a couple of years ago, we were having a conversation about round earth and flat earth, and now he has fully embraced this digital, this electronic world. And while we're there standing and talking, he says, you know, I've joined Facebook. We need to become Facebook friends. And part of my heart just kind of hurt when I heard that, because knowing the Ugandan lifestyle and the joy that they have, even though they have very... I just wondered, how much will technology change who they are as a people and as a culture? You know, I use Facebook and a number of other social media platforms. I like posting pictures so that, you know, friends and family that are far away from us can see. But I know those platforms have a lot of shortcomings. There's so many limitations coming to them when we use the word friends, right? Because you can say, well, I've got a lot of Facebook friends, but does that really mean anything? Because in reality, I would rather say, I've got a couple of really good friends that know who I am and who I would do anything for, and I believe that they would do anything for me. Because as technology has made our large world much, much smaller because of the way that we can communicate today, in a lot of ways, it has hurt us relationally. Even though that we can communicate a lot better, a lot of folks feel more and more separated than ever before. Now, I like the fact that, you know, I've got some virtual friends and I can communicate with them really easily. But sometimes when I use those platforms, I go away from those and I feel, you know, a little lacking. I want more than, you know, just a few words and just a couple of pictures. I really want to know from my friends how they're doing, what's happening in their life, and if there's anything that I can do for them. But that's difficult to do through an electronic platform. Throughout the New Testament, there are some statements that we call one another statements or each other statements. In the New Testament, there's about 100 of those. 40 of those are in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're one another statements that Jesus uses. The rest are in the rest of the letters and epistles that are written in the rest of the New Testament. And in these one another statements, they really provide a great framework for us as believers on how we're to treat one another, how we're to live together as a church. These one another statements, they teach us how to love one another, how to serve one another, how to forgive one another, how we're not to judge one another, but instead to bear one another's burdens, how we're to comfort one another, teach one another, and how we're to encourage one another. Great statements that teach us how to live the Christian life. Now, I'm going to do a quick little plug. Next week, next Sunday morning, we're actually going to be bringing back our adult Bible fellowships during this second hour. And so if you're not teaching or if you're not serving some area of the church, we would love to have you join us for our adult Bible fellowships. And we're actually going to continue this series on upstairs during that second hour. And we're going to dive in a little bit deeper into these one another statements so that we can really discuss and talk a little bit more how it is that that we love one another, how it is that we love our neighbor, our coworker, the people around us. How do we develop those gifts that God has given to really express our care and concern for other folks? And so if it's right for you, I hope that you'll join us for those adult Bible fellowships and join us upstairs starting next week. But this morning, I want to take just a little time, and we're going to focus out of the book of Romans. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up your Bible to Romans chapter 12. And here is a section of scripture where the Apostle Paul, he shares a couple of these one another statements, and we're going to dig into them just a little bit. Romans chapter 12, starting verse 9 and through verse 13, it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Now, this section of scripture, it provides really a great framework of why we come together as a church. And you'll notice here four different times in this section of scripture, Paul stresses the importance of the way that we think. And rather than thinking of an individual mindset, Paul really tries to get us to think more in group terms. In other words, we who are many are now one. Although we lead separate lives, we're to function as one body, and that is the body of Christ. And so this morning I want to share with you four different ways that I think that this section of scripture really applies to us and how we can live that out each and every day. So here's my first point. As we live this Christian journey, I believe that we need to be devoted to one another. You'll notice here, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now notice here the focus in this verse. When it's talking about relationships and the friendships that we have in this world, it really focuses more on the quality of relationships rather than the quantity. Which isn't that interesting, because that is in direct contradiction of what our social media and our world pushes today. I mean, because you look at any platform, whether it is Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever, it's all about the views. It's all about the likes. It's all about, you know, how many people can you get to watch what I'm doing? But here, Scripture tells us something different. You know, it really encourages us to focus on the people that are around us and the quality of relationship that we have with them. Over the years, my wife Jenny and I, we've been here in the Sugar Land area for about 25 years. And we moved here when we were just newly married, and we didn't have any family here in this area. And over the years, we really knew that if we were going to, you know, stay here for a long time and really have a healthy marriage and, you know, start a healthy family, we knew that we were going to have, you know, community around us, have some really great friends. And so we began developing good friends over the years, and then kiddos came along, and, you know, we gathered on some more friends, and we really learned to do life with those friends, and really we've had those friends for 20 plus years. And the reason that's so important, because all of our family, both sides of our family, they're scattered over about five different states, from the Northeast down to the Midwest, and they're far away. But you know what happens with life? Life can be challenging sometimes, you know, with marriage and with kids and work and all the things that come along. And sometimes you really just need somebody who knows you, who knows when life may be off, knows when you're down, when you have one of those, you know, instances in life where you just really need an extra set of hands. Having somebody in your life that is closer than a brother is really important. And so we have a phrase around our house, friends like family. You see, as our kids have grown up here, although their cousins are scattered across the country, they've got some friends that are like cousins, and they've got some other grandparents, we call them surrogate grandparents, that are right here because their blood relatives are further away, and they love those folks and spend time with them. But having folks right here close to us have been so important. And oftentimes people will ask us, well, how did you get so connected to that group of people? How is it that, you know, anytime you're dealing with something, you can rely on those folks? And my answer is always the same. Church. Church is where we develop those kind of relationships. That's where we develop those kind of friendships. That's what church is all about. It is supposed to be a place where we can come together and know others and be known ourselves. You know, one of the things that we've tried to do here at Cornerstone is make it easy for folks to make connections with other families and other individuals. And we do that through our home teams, because this church has got a lot of folks that come here. You've got first service, you've got second service, we've got our Spanish church. There's a lot of folks that come in and out of this building every single week, and it's really easy to get lost in the shuffle or get lost in the crowd. And so what home teams do is they break the church down into small groups, into, you know, four or five families that come together a couple times a month, and they are really living out this Romans chapter 12 framework. Because as home teams get together, what do? Well, my home team, we eat a lot. And we share what's going on in life. We pray for each other. We encourage one another, and we walk off. We walk away better. And I still remember the first time that we came to church here. The first Sunday we came to church, I think it was Anna Good that invited us to their home team, and we went. And we haven't stopped coming ever since. Because that's a great way to make connections with real people that you can invite into your life. And you can be there. So it is so important to be devoted to one another. And we want to make that easy. So over the next couple of weeks, as we're starting up our home teams, I hope you'll take advantage of that and take the opportunity to get engaged with a home team here at Cornerstone. But the next thing that I think this scripture tells us is that we need to honor one another. Honor one another. Now, you'll notice here on the screen, we've got Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, kind of as our corresponding. But I kind of want to back up a little bit, because there's an important section here that Paul writes about in Philippians, starting in verse 1. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, and fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion. In other words, what Paul is saying, if you've ever benefited from your relationship with Jesus Christ, in other words, if you've been down, if you've been lonely, if you've been in need, and it was God's word, or maybe his Spirit that gave you comfort, or maybe it was a brother and sister in Christ that came to a need or came to your aid. If you have any benefit, verse 2, he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Now, at verse 3, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And once again, isn't it interesting? Because this is in direct contradiction to the world that we live in. I mean, if you think about social media platforms and all that happens in our digital world, what's it all about? It's all about me, right? It's all about, you know, where I've been, where I'm going, where I went on vacation, who am I with, and hey, look at my great enchilada plate, and I'm going to take a picture of it and make you drool over it, right? It's all about me. But isn't it interesting? You know, the words from the Bible point us in an entirely different direction. Because as you read through Scripture and you read about the life of Christ, even Jesus, the Son of God, it wasn't all about him. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, who did he make it all about? Us. I mean, his ministry, his life, it was always focused on other people. Therefore, we should live that same pattern and pattern our lives after Jesus, always focusing on others, always honoring others above ourself. The third area is really encouraging one another and building each other up. Here I've put 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." Now, I know that sounds repetitive, and we talk about the way that we love each other a lot, but I think this is so important because what Peter's really saying is, let there be no question about your love for one another as believers in Christ. Now, when Jenny and I were first married, in fact, next week we celebrate our 28th anniversary together. But when we were first married, I used to think the most important question that I need to answer is, do I love my wife? Sounds like a pretty good question, right? Do I love my wife? As I've grown in our relationship, I've realized that that's not the best question I could ask. The best question that I need to be asking is, does my wife know that I love her? That's a much better question. And you know, I think the same is true for the church, because a lot of folks view church as, well, do I love my church? You know, do I love the worship? Do I love, you know, the message, the preacher that's preaching every week? Or do I love the programs? Again, I think that's the wrong question to ask. Instead of asking, do I love my church, I should be asking, do my brothers and sisters in Christ, does my church know how much I love them? You see, that's a different focus. It gets, again, our focus off of ourselves. One of the things that I've discovered over the years is when I am too focused on myself, I tend to get a little bit overwhelmed, a little bit stressed out. And when things are happening in my life and it seems to be getting too much to bear, I've discovered a great antidote to that, and that is to get the attention off myself and get the attention on other people. A great way to do that is to serve other people. You see, when you're serving other people, when you're serving people, you know, maybe in your community, maybe here in our church or wherever it might be, when you're serving and focused on other people, what does that do? It draws the attention away from yourself. It draws some of the worry away from yourself. And what it often does for me, because when you begin to serve other people, when you begin to minister to other folks, what you often discover, because ministry can be messy sometimes, you often discover what's happening in other people's lives is certainly a lot more difficult than what's going on in my life. It gives you a little bit of perspective. And so I think that one of the great ways that we can encourage and build each other up is by serving one another, making sure the people around us, whether that's in church or in our family or in our community, making sure that they know how much that we love them. The last area here that I want to share with you is be concerned about one another. And here again, I want to go back to Philippians here on point number 4. I want to go back to Philippians, again, chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Paul writes, he says, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but look to the interests of others." Verse 5, he goes on to say, "Our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." I've got a story I want to share with you. 1945, Dr. Rene Spitz, he published a study about infants that were institutionalized. They were taken away. They had parents, but they were taken away their parents and put in an institutional setting. Now, when these children, when they left their families and they were placed into an orphanage, they were relatively healthy. But in a short time, they began to exhibit some alarming symptoms. They had apathy, loss of appetite, a lack of interest in toys and other children. But they discovered that when the children were returned to their mothers and to their families, those symptoms began to just disappear. Now, on the other hand, for those children that continued on in the separation, they began to deteriorate both physically as well as mentally. Now, during this study, out of the 100 children that were studied in this orphanage, although they received adequate nourishment and medical care, 23 of the children in the orphanage died during the time of research. Now, the findings shocked, of course, the scientific community and sparked a flurry of other studies on the problems of institutional care. They began to check and run tests on food supplies and quality of medical care. They checked for infections and viruses, but they really couldn't figure out what the problem was. Just when everybody seemed to blame the deaths on some mysterious biological reaction, a few of the scientists began to suggest that the problem might rather lie in the absence of what a mother provides her children. The scientists became convinced that these children were suffering and even dying from a lack of love. So here's how they fixed the problem. They made sure that each child was held and talked to for a portion of each hour that they were awake each day. Now, the scientific community was shocked when they began to see these developmental issues disappear and the mortality rate improve almost immediately. Now, you might be wondering, what does this study of institutionalized children have to do with the church? Well, for our family, we've got a little more personal experience this. Our youngest daughter, Mei Lin, was born in China. Spent a little time in an orphanage, and we knew some of the challenges that would come along with receiving a child from an orphanage. But when we went to China and picked her up, we were quite surprised, because the day before we picked her up, we were given a book, and it was basically the history of Mei Lin over the year and a half that she hadn't been with us. There was a ministry in China called Half the Sky Ministry. And what this ministry does is all they do is they provide nannies that go into the orphanage and they pick up the children, they talk to the children, they hold on to the children, and they love these children. Now, typically for an international adoption, you might get one or two little pictures, and we had a little picture of Mei Lin that we first received. But the day before that we were going to pick her up, this book that we were given, her nanny, which she called grandmother, had taken pictures each month. And so we had 2 to 3 pictures each month that she was in the orphanage, about a year and a half. And it gave descriptions of, when she started walking, when she started, babbling, when she started, some of the different personality traits that were in her at a very, very young age. We suddenly had information about those things. And can you imagine what a treasure that is? I mean, if our house were to catch on fire, I mean, my wife would head for that book and, some of our other family photos, and she'd be out the door. That's all she cares about. But that is this great treasure, because this one person spent time each day loving and caring for our child when we couldn't be there. So what does this have to do with the church? Well, in a lot of ways, there's a lot of parallels, because anytime somebody comes to a new church, there's something that happens. One, either they will come in and start making connections and start building relationships, or they will keep their distance. And typically when folks keep their distance, one of two things happen. One, they might come for a few weeks and then move on down the road and look for another church. Or the second thing that sometimes happens is folks come to a church and they're not necessarily interested in connecting with other people, but they might come and enjoy the worship and enjoy the preaching, but really they're just consumers of church. Well, the difference is when they connect with other people. When they discover that there's other people just like them that love them, that care for them, that reach out and show them that there is a difference. Because the church is really a place to belong. It's a place to grow. It's a place to love other people, and it's a place to discover your plans for God's life. Now, unfortunately, not everybody that walks through the doors of our church finds a place to belong. And as a guest, it can be a little bit overwhelming coming to a new church. And there's a lot of different studies on what makes a healthy church or what makes a church really click and kind of take off. And every time in that, you always discover that there's one key ingredient to a healthy church. And you might be thinking, well, you know, it's the worship minister, great praise team, that they really have great worship. Or maybe it's the preacher, it's whoever delivering the message. They're really just feeding folks, and that's what connects them. The thing that really builds a healthy church is you. Each one of you. You are the most important people that happen inside these walls each and every week, because you have an opportunity to connect with the people around you. And it's your job. Because every week, as somebody new comes and walks into this building, they're looking for an opportunity to connect with other people. And that's why each of us, it's our job, it's our assignment to keep our eyes on who is here and to walk across the room and check in on folks. Hey, how you doing? Hadn't seen you in a while. Ask questions and begin to build relationships and begin to get involved and invite other folks to join you in a home team or a Bible study. We've got our men's and women's Bible studies that are starting. As we have opportunities to serve, whether that's in children's ministry or youth ministry or maybe in some of our community events with the Obadiah Project or our partnership with Velasquez Elementary. So many opportunities for us to join together as a church family, serve together, and love our community. But it all depends on each one of us. It's not just about what happens here on stage. The most important thing that happens every Sunday happens out there in the pews. And so this morning, I just want to hope and encourage you to really dive deep into these one another statements, because they're filled throughout Scripture and they remind us what we are supposed to do each and every day. If you're with us this morning and maybe this morning you have some needs, maybe you want to know a little bit more about this person that we talk about, Jesus Christ, maybe you want to dive into a Bible study. We've got lots of folks that would love to open up the Bible and share with you more about starting a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you just have some need that you'd like for somebody to pray with you about. There's a lot of folks we would love to pray with you, but we got to know about that. And so I hope and pray that you will you'll let somebody know so we can do that. If there's some other need that you have, I hope that you won't keep it to yourself. I hope you won't feel like you are alone, but I hope you feel like that we're in this together. And so I'm going to end our time together in prayer, and then we're going to sing one more song. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father God, we thank you so much just for the opportunity that we have as followers of Christ to be able to come before you at times of need, ask for your help, and Father, receive those answers to prayers. Father, when we're lonely, when we're down, when we're stressed out, and when we're filled with anxious thoughts, Father, we pray that you would give us comfort. Give us comfort through your word. Give us comfort through your spirit. And Father, we pray that that we as a church family would really have eyes to really look for those moments when our brothers and sisters in Christ need a word of encouragement, need a pat on the back, need somebody to walk side by side with them through even the most difficult situations. Father, I pray that each Sunday as we gather together to honor and lift your name, Father, that we would also be looking to one another to encourage, to serve, to love each other sincerely. Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to do that. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. For further information about today's podcast or our church in general, please visit us at cornerstonecbc.org. That's cornerstonecbc.org. Thanks. See you next time.